might be familiar with the story. At the age of 12, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, 12 years of age in the flesh, Mary and Joseph go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And they get ready to leave town. And they say they traveled in something like a wagon train, several families traveling together. And they, just like all the rest of us, I guess, assumed that he was off somebody else's wagon and playing with somebody else's kids. And it does seem a little out of the ordinary that they went three days without missing him. And finally turned back and went back searching for him. And they found him at the temple. Didn't find him at the pool hall or anywhere like that. They found him at the temple conversing with the doctors of law and Old Testament scholars. And so the mother asked him, why have you done this? And he says to her in verse 49, I want you to look specifically at this verse 49. How is it that you sought me? Why are you looking for me? Wish ye not, which means don't you know. Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. I'm interested in that single word must this morning. Just the word must. And if we can think about this a little bit, we trust the Lord will add His blessing to His word this morning. The word must occurs 71 times in the New Testament. 27 of those times, it's from the lips of the Lord Jesus Himself. Must. And the word means numerous things. It means basically a binding duty, requirement, of necessity, essential, or imperative. Must. It is a must. And here is a must in the life of the Lord Jesus. I have often thought of children born into British royalty generations ago. I don't know how it is now, but we used to hear a good bit about it. And a certain teacher of mine was, I can remember, was almost obsessed with this. Talk about these special children. You know, the prince, I guess they call them a prince, whatever, and the girls and all this. And these special children, they did not get to play with other children. And they didn't ever get muddy. Or climb trees. Or they didn't get to dam up the creek to make a swimming hole. I can't imagine kids not doing those things. They were educated privately. Tutored diligently. Always dressed formally. And I thought, what a miserable existence. Their marriage arranged at an early age without their consent to maintain the expectations of royalty. They lived very disciplined lives. Well, God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world with everything arranged. Just like that. He was not left to choose for himself a lot of things we would say is a child's privilege. His life on this earth in a body of flesh was filled with must. Must. We don't read hardly anything about what he could do, what things he might choose to do, what directions he might take, but we find a whole lot about what he must do. The requirement, the necessity, the must. And it was a must not put upon him by man. No man could require him to do anything or make him do anything. But all the must was put upon him by God, his Father. His life in this world was arranged. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And he said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And here he says, I must be about my Father's business. So for a few minutes this morning, I want to refer to five musts of the Master. There are many more than five, but we're just going to consider five for a little bit this morning. Five musts of the Master. Number one is the must of the Master's superiority. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The must of the Master's superiority. Many people think that Jesus Christ was just a man, possibly to be numbered among the great minds and teachers in history. Christ had said about John the Baptist, there's not been a greater born among women. John the Baptist was a great man. But now listen to what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Jesus said about John, there's not been a greater than he born among women. But now listen to what he says about Jesus here in John chapter 3 and verse 30. He must, there's the must, increase, but I must decrease. We see the word must twice in that verse. John says the must for me is to decrease. I'm moving off the scene. John's ministry and preaching and baptizing, it was the news of the country. And he said, I'm on the way down. I'm on the way out of here. I must decrease. But the must for him, the Lord Jesus, is to increase. John the Baptist said, in his preaching, he said, there cometh one after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. We commented on that a week or two ago, how that the loosing of the shoe symbolizes the forfeiting of authority. We saw it with Moses at the burning bush, with Joshua at the crossing of the Jordan, with David at his exile from the king's palace. And we saw it in the book of Ruth with Boaz, and now with John the Baptist. John is saying, he, Jesus Christ, will never forfeit his authority to me. I'll never lose his shoe. But I'll forfeit my authority to him. He must increase. I must decrease. And this is the must of the Master's superiority. He's greater than the great. He must increase. Remember, people said, who can perform such miracles as this? But God, he did. Who can forgive sins but God? He did. His own disciples asked one another, puzzled, and said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" He's God, God the Son. He must increase. And in comparing Christ's temptation in Matthew 4 with Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam, who was created with a sinless existence, Christ is superior. Why? Adam fell, Christ didn't. Christ faced as much and more in that temptation in those 40 days in the wilderness than Adam did in the Garden of Eden. And Adam went down. Christ didn't. Christ didn't. If you believe the Bible, and I trust everybody here this morning does, you have a strong conviction that Christ the Lord is superior to any person, in any situation, in any generation. John said, "I'm on the way down. He's on the way up." He must increase. That's the must of the Master's superiority. Number two, I would mention the must of the Master's suffering. The must of the Master's suffering. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16, 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must," you see the word there? "How that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." He must be rejected. That's why he came. He must suffer many things, he said. Not a few, but many. He must die. Who says so? God says so. The only one who ever walked this earth that didn't deserve to die must die. Why must he die? He's dying in the stead of his elect people. Those to whom death and alienation from God forever belongs. You and I. He's experiencing what we deserve in order that we'll never have to experience it. He must suffer many things. The must of the Master's suffering. Was there any other way? No. He must suffer many things, be killed and raised again the third day. The resurrection was a must, as much so as the crucifixion. He must die, and he must rise again. Death is the wages of sin. And when Christ had taken that sin of ours upon himself, when he collected those wages, which was to die on a cross, when our sins were consumed, then death has no more power to hold him. As long as there is one single sin of one of God's elect not paid for, Christ cannot rise. But he did rise. He did rise. All the sins sins of all his people are paid for. That's why he had to die. The must of Christ's suffering. All right, number three. The must of the master's seeking. His life in this world was full of must. The must of the master's seeking. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, just a moment. I'm not going to be long, so we just turn into all these. John chapter 4. The must of the master's seeking. Look at verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Many of you know this story. Devout Jews would not pass through Samaria. And though it was a much longer, they'd go around just to keep from going through Samaria. Jews so hated Samaritans as much or more than they hated Gentiles. Samaritans were half-breeds. Those in whom Jewish blood had been polluted, mixed with Gentiles. And it was really awful in the eyes of the Jews, in their feeling of superiority. They hated Samaritans. Because they had mixed with Gentiles and had polluted their blood. Well, Jesus was a Jew, and yet we read here that he must needs. That is, he must of necessity go through Samaria. Why must he? Because he's the master seeker. There is a poor, fallen, and rejected woman. One of his elect. With no hope of ever being anything in herself but poor, fallen, and rejected. And the master seeker knows that she'll be going to Jacob's well about noontime. Verse 6 says it was about the sixth hour. That's noon, Jewish time. Traditionally, the women went to the well to draw water early in the morning, in the cool of the day. And they'd go as a group. And they'd talk and laugh and fellowship and enjoy one another's company along the way. But this woman was excluded because of who she was and what she was. She's a fallen woman and she's not welcome to go along with the others. And so she, in her rejection and in her shame, she goes to the well alone at noon in the heat of the day. To draw water. And when she gets there, the Lord Jesus is sitting there. He knows she's coming. Well, I don't think she's afraid of him as a man. She had quite a bit of experience with men, if you've read the story. But I believe she is surprised when he speaks to her. She expected him to ignore her, not even acknowledge her. But he spoke four words in verse 7. Give me to drink. And she asked him, why would you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Most Jews wouldn't even accept a drink of water from me if I offered it. And here you are asking. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, she went on to say. Well, she don't know that he's not just a Jew. He's the master seeker. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Chosen sinners. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Lost sinners. Lost in Adam. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Don't misread that. Luke 19:10. That which was lost. I'm fixing to blow a fuse right here now. Adam's race is not lost. They're right at home in Adam. Then what was lost? God's elect. Elect in Christ from eternity were lost in time in Adam. And Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that He does. That He does. Christ responds to the woman's comments, if you knew who I really am, instead of me asking you for a drink of water, you'd be asking me. She don't understand this. And she says, I don't think so. The well is deep. You don't even have a bucket and a rope to draw with. She don't know that He's not really wanting a drink of water from her. He's there to give her living water. Verse 14, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the story goes, when He had told her all about herself, things that she knew that only God could know, He reveals Himself unto her. And she left her water pot. Verse 28. She said He didn't even have a bucket. Now she leaves hers. In verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The master seeker has found her. He's not seeking possible prospects that he didn't know about. He's not seeking potential followers that he's not acquainted with. No, he's seeking certain and chosen ones that he knows all about. Big difference. The must of the master's seeking. I must needs go through Samaria. Number four, the must of the master's shepherding. In John chapter 10, some beautiful statements about Christ the shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Now this fold is the Jews he's talking about, the disciples. And the other sheep are Gentiles. So he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I, there's the word, must bring. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Boy, this is one verse that tells the dispensationalist to take a hike. There's just one fold. There's just one shepherd. Paul said in Ephesians 2 that of the twain, the two, Jew and Gentile, God hath made one new man. So the Gentile world is where these other sheep are scattered and strayed. And the master shepherd does not say, I'm going to try to talk them into coming home. No, look what he says. Them also I must bring. It's imperative that I do so. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, cannot lose a single lamb. We have this picture in Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. The shepherd seeks, not hoping to find, but until he find his lost sheep. His seeking will not stop short of finding. He's the master shepherd. We don't question this morning his ability to save those on our hearts who need him so. We don't question his ability. But oh, do we question our desire? Oh Lord, do it for your glory. He's going to get it done. And I promise you, at the end of life's day, ever how you want to term it, when the saints go marching in, however, and all the sheep pass under the rod as the shepherd counts. They say that's what the shepherds used to do at night when they were leading their sheep into the fold. They would take that rod and they would touch each one on the back and count them and count up. And there's coming a day when the saints go marching in. When we all pass under the rod and the shepherd counts up. I promise you, the count will be 100%. An innumerable company, the Bible says, that no man can number, of every kindred, nation, and tongue. No man can number, but the God-man can number them and will. He must bring every sheep home. Other sheep I have, and them I must bring. The must of the master's shepherding. Number 5, and I'll be through. The must of the master's salvation. The must. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, there's the word, be saved. Our beloved country has been invaded and is being invaded on a daily basis by many false religions. And the question that's often asked is, and they're a lot bolder at asking it now, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, he answered that question. John 14:6. I am the way, not one of the ways, not the best way, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. This is not debatable. It's not just that our generation, we say, Christ is the answer. Christ is the way. That is permanent. That is abiding truth. Christ has only always been the way, the only way. He still is the way, the only way. And while this world stands, Christ will remain the only way. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9, and said, God hath saved us. It's a done deal. And called us with a holy calling, as only He can. Not according to our works. We had nothing to do with it. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us when? When He saw what fine people we are? No. He said this salvation was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You wouldn't even dare to vote on. He wades in there, and it's one of His sheep. That sheep will welcome His presence. And that sheep will welcome His ability to free them from the him or her, from the entanglement. And they'll gladly crawl into the shepherd's arms and gladly rest on the shepherd's shoulders as he carries them back to the flock. But then if that shepherd wades into that thicket and it's a wild goat caught, that goat will fight the shepherd more than it fights the thicket. There's a great lesson in that. If you want to fight against God, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. If you think this is a game and God is impressed with our occasional attendance without any real heart for Him, we're badly mistaken. We're not here this morning to see or be seen. We're not here to make a show. We're not here to earn any points. We're here to listen and learn about the one and only way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's superior to all others. He suffered like no other. He's the master seeker. He's the master shepherd. And He's the one who saves. And so if you don't know anything else about God, if you never live to learn anything else, know this. Know this. There is no other name under heaven. Nobody, nowhere. No other name whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:7, Christ said, ye must, there's another must, be born again. And He told Nicodemus, don't marvel at this. It's not open for debate. There is no other way. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So our Lord's pilgrimage on this earth was full of musts. Must. And my question this morning is, do you have any musts? Any absolute necessities? any binding imperatives, any heart convictions that you're going to die before you go another way. You better have some. The soul songwriter said, I must needs, he used that word must, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way than this. The way of the cross leads home. Another songwriter that we sing sometimes said like this, I must. This is an imperative. This is a necessity. It can't be any other way. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. And in my distress, He kindly will help me. Why? He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. So His life in this world was a life of must. And ours should be as well. In obedience to Him and in submission to Him. Too many of our musts have nothing to do with Him. I must have this new car. I must go on vacation. I must get this job. I must this. I must that. I saw this outfit. I don't have the money. But I must have it. I must, I must, I must. Oh, there ought to be some must. But they ought to be in submission to Him who said, I must do the will of Him who sent me. Came not to do my own will, but His will. Thank you this morning. Let's stand.